The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were shaken with fear of him and became like dead men. Then the angel said to the women in reply, "Do not be afraid. I know you are seeking Jesus, the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead and is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." They went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then he said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
On the Easter Vigil night, our gospel is usually rotated between the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So every year we hear one of the resurrection proclamation from one of those gospels. Tonight is Gospel of Matthew, next year it'll be the Gospel of Mark, and then the Gospel of Luke, and then we go back to Matthew. But on Easter Sunday, every year we listen to the resurrection from the Gospel of John. Now, among all those four Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew has the most action and visual effects. There's an earthquake. An angel comes down from heaven. He rolls the stone, his glad white robes, his lightning like glowing like the sun. If Hollywood wants to make a movie about the resurrection, that's the script they're going to use, Matthew. They can do great things with it. Well, tonight, there's not going to be an earthquake, at least not a physical earthquake. Thanks be to God, we haven't retrofitted the church yet, so it can't happen now. But actually, tonight should be an earth-shattering night for all of our elect who will be baptized tonight, for our candidates who will be confirmed and receive First Communion, for all of us. Tonight has the potential to really turn our lives upside down like an earthquake. Tonight, if we are open to the grace of the risen Lord, he can bring down the walls that we build over the years to protect us, the walls of selfishness, the walls of fear, the walls of materialism. All these walls, the walls of guilt and fear that we build around ourselves to think that will protect us, and yet we're enclosing in self and building our own tomb because they separate us from God and from one another. Tonight, you have that opportunity to have the risen Lord break down those walls, crush them down to become just sand. Tonight, you have the opportunity to turn your lives upside down to be freed from the tomb, just like the angel rolled that stone. Jesus will crumble those walls and lead you out to the light, to live your lives to the fullest, if you let him. And you're thinking, Father, okay, well, how do I let him? Tell me. It's very simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, tonight I surrender myself to you. Let your will be done in my life. And the risen Lord will do the rest of the work. All we have to do, whether tonight, maybe make this your prayer every day. Lord, today, help me to surrender my will to you and let your will be done. And you'll see what the Lord will work into your life. But first, these walls have to come down just like that stone had to be rolled away. And Jesus respects our own free will. He won't do it unless we ask him to do it. Unless we ask him to set us free from the tombs that we build for ourselves. That's the earthquake that each one of us can experience tonight, especially our elect will be baptized. That's how we will rise from those tombs to a new life. But first, the earthquake must happen to bring down everything. Because God wants to do a new thing, wants to make you a new creation, wants to bring you to a new life. So what is this new creation that Jesus has planned for us? Well, let's look at the woman in the gospel today. In the gospel of Matthew, during the Passion, he tells us that the woman watched from a distance. They were not at the foot of the cross. They watched from a distance. Many of us, we make our journey of life, yes, following Jesus, but we watch from a distance. We keep our distance away. We don't want to get too close, because it's scary. We don't want to get too close because we don't know what the crowd will do. They wanted to crucify and kill Jesus. We're not going to get too close to him. We keep our distance, just like the women. But then those holy women went to the tomb. Why did they go to the tomb? See, in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that after Jesus died on the cross, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea brought fresh linen and 100 pounds of perfume and ointment to prepare Jesus' body for burial and wrapped him in the cloth. So they didn't go to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus because they didn't have time to do it before they brought him in the tomb because it was the Sabbath. Also in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that they went at the dawning of the day. Not at dawn, but at the dawning of the day. Now the Jewish day starts after sunset. So those women could not even wait till the sun will rise in the morning. They went about this time. That's the dawning of the day, the beginning of the day. When it was totally dark, they went to the tomb. Why? Because they didn't know what to do else. They don't know what's going to happen to them. Their hopes, their dreams, and this man who they gave them their dignity, who raised them up to become one of his disciples, who allowed them to sit at his feet like a man did, the one who healed them, who exercised demons out of them, the one who forgave them. Now he's dead. He's in the tomb. What's going to happen to them? What's the future holds to them? Has everything been destroyed? Their hopes and dreams? But they didn't know what else to do but to go to where Jesus is, to the tomb. Because maybe they remembered that Jesus told them, I will suffer and die, but I will rise on the third day. Maybe these women because of the status in society, were humble, would listen, were more the servants in their society, in their community, in their families. Maybe they paid attention to Jesus. And despite their despair, despite the darkness of outside the day and in their hearts, they had a flicker of hope. Maybe just like this candle. A little hope. Do you think Jesus would truly rise? Where else would they go? They hung to that hope, so they went to the tomb and sat waiting to see, will it happen? And lo and behold, it did happen in their eyes. They saw the tomb, the stone being rolled. They saw the angel. They felt the earthquake. They knew that the new thing is happening. Their life was shaking to prepare them for that new creation. The woman who just watched from a distance, now with that encounter at the tomb, began to have a new mission, a new purpose, a new reason to live, because the angel gives them that mission. He tells them, go and tell the disciples that the crucified Lord has risen. Go and bring the good news. These women who watched from a distance, who really had no place in society, were given and elevated to become the apostle to the apostles, the first ones to bring the good news to the world that Jesus has risen from the dead. What honor, what glory, what love that Jesus will entrust this mission to them, to women whose witness wouldn't be accepted in court, who women have to go to those men disciples who abandoned Jesus, betrayed Jesus, and somehow convince him he's risen from the dead. And what's interesting about the women here in the gospel is when the angel tells them Jesus is risen, they don't go into the tomb to see for themselves. Unlike Peter and John, who in the Gospel of John says they went into the tomb. They believe without seeing. They believe on the word of the angel. Because Jesus told them that's what will happen. They listened. They believed. And now they're the carriers and proclaimers of the good news. At baptism, Jesus will crumble those walls that you build about yourself as a prison and set you free. In confirmation, the Holy Spirit will make you proclaimers of the good news, just like this woman, to go to the whole world, to your families, to your co-workers, to your communities, to your neighborhoods, to your churches, and proclaim that the Lord who died on the cross is risen from the dead. That's the new creation that God will bring you up to, raise you up to, and each one of us. If we let him, nothing will stop him but us. If we say, Lord, I surrender to your will, let your will be done. And the women again, they show us their faith. They go, although they're afraid, the soldiers are there. How are they going to convince their friends that back there in the house who are hiding from everyone? They're overjoyed, but yes, it's a scary mission. Because we live in a world just at the time of Jesus that's not really open and welcoming the mission of a risen Christ. And yet they go. And on the way, because of their faith again, they encounter Christ. Jesus appears to them and they recognize him. And they worship him. Because they said yes to this mission that Jesus has given to them through the angel. They were willing to take the risks of proclaiming the good news that the world did not want to hear. And you tonight will encounter Christ if you say yes to be proclaimers of the good news. You will encounter Christ when you receive him in the Eucharist, when you hold him in your hand, just as the woman grabs his feet and worshiped him. When you remember that every time you come to this place, it's a place where you can encounter Jesus, the risen Lord, who comes to you to strengthen you in his body and blood so you can go out and shout from the rooftops, Jesus is risen, he's alive. That will happen tonight for you for the first time. Sunday after Sunday, you had to leave us and go to reflect on the world and weren't able to share with us around the table of Jesus, the table of his body and blood. Tonight, you're no longer following Jesus at a distance, but he's going to be so close to you that you will hold him in your palms of your hands. That's what will happen tonight for all of us. Earlier on in the retreat, Don told you, this is not the end. This is the beginning of the new you, the new creation that Jesus has formed in you. This is the beginning of your journey as not just disciples of Jesus. The angel told the women, go and tell the disciples. Now let's see who was listening. What did Jesus tell them to go and tell whom? He said, brothers, he was listening, Benjamin. Great, give him a hand. You are no longer disciples. You're sisters and brothers of Jesus. You're part of God's family. You're part of our family. You're now our sisters and brothers. And no matter where your life takes you in this world, just remember that in this corner of Fremont and Rollins, there is a church. And this is your home church. This is your place. This is your home. You can come anytime. And you'll find your brothers and sisters, your family waiting for you here to rejoice with you, to weep with you, to give you wisdom, whatever you need. This is now your home. Your RCIA family was your nuclear home. Now guess what? From what, 20, 30 people in RCIA? Now you're going to have thousands of brothers and sisters. Welcome to the extended family. And that's what we all are here, friends. We're brothers and sisters, not strangers. No matter what we believe, no matter who we vote for, no matter what we do, it doesn't matter. We're brothers and sisters. We had a retreat for the priests on Monday, and our speaker told this story. His father comes from a big family. They have like 13 children, and obviously they're married, and there is nephews and cousins and, you know, so on and so forth. And their grandma would used to tell them always, he said, that no matter what you do, no matter if you guys are not talking to who you're not talking to, or you're mad with whatever you're mad to, at Christmas, when you come here, there's tamales for everyone. And every time you come here, we have better than tamales. We have Jesus, the risen Lord. So let's welcome him. Let's prepare all ourselves, not just our elect. Say, Lord, help me to surrender to your will. Let your will be done in my life. And he'll roll that stone and set us free.